Hey, welcome in, everybody. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Warren Brooks here with you at Everbank Field. Warren back at 1010XL World Headquarters as we get into the Jags on the bye week Wednesday here. Tony, good morning. I'm trying to feel optimistic about the final six games.
Okay.
It's getting more difficult by the day. Allen Robinson going down. We find out that he went down with a foot injury that'll keep him out for the final month and a half of the season.
Yep.
You got an offense that on a per-game basis is scoring right at the bottom of the league. The only teams that scored fewer points are Tennessee and Oakland. They played one fewer game. So if each of those teams scores more than 14 this week, the Jags will be dead last in points scored this year. Where are the points going to come from, Tony, with Allen Robinson on the sideline?
We'll see where the points are going to come from. It's not like they've been coming in bunches for this team to this point anyway. And, look, we've been talking about it a lot over the last month and a half or so since Blake Bortles came in. This team seems like they've been pretty effective moving the ball into opponents' territory, but because they haven't been able to get a whole lot of chunk plays, they've kind of bogged down at that point. They're turning the ball over a lot to this point in the season. They got the most turnovers in the National Football League. And look, if you want to chalk that up to this team being young, especially on the offensive side of the ball, I think you can, because it has been a lot of young team mistakes that are being made. But at the same time, it's not like they've improved all that much from where they were last year offensively from a numbers perspective. I think that you can feel better about some of the things they're doing than they were doing last year, especially at the quarterback position. But still, they haven't had a whole lot of success to this point. And so if you want to be pessimistic about what's going to happen over the last six games, I think they've certainly given you enough evidence to feel that way.
I don't want to be pessimistic, and I know what you mean, but I don't want to be in that frame of mind. But I look at, yes, have they improved? You know, I was just looking through the numbers through 10 games because it's very easy for my simple brain to wrap my head around. I can divide how many points they've given up by 10. They're averaging giving up 28.2 a week. All right. Mm-hmm. Now I realize some of that is pick sixes, what have you, but overall the team is allowing that many points, whether it's all in the defense or not, that there's always some hidden scores in there.
But I don't remember a rash of pick sixes last year. I mean,
I don't either.
That has a significant impact on that number for the defense.
It does. So what do we have? Four or five of those? How many? What's the total?
Four, I believe.
Four? And plus probably a few others that have set up the defense in poor field position.
Like this,
but
you get
that as well.
Yeah.
You know, and that, right, the turnover, although not the, the interception, but overall, you look at it, what did they allow through this many games last year? 316 points, was it? 318. So they're giving up 31.8 through 10 games last year. They're giving up 28.2. It's almost a 4 point per game improvement. The problem isn't, Tony, that they're improving. They are improving. They've scored more points through 10 games. They've given up fewer points through 10 games. Problem is the gulf that they have to overcome when you've improved that much defensively, nearly 4 points a game. That's a significant jump, right? That's half a touchdown every week. Okay? You're still dead last in the NFL in terms of points allowed overall as a team. And I get it. It's not all defense. Whatever. Those points are going up. The opponent gets credit for them. And you're still dead last. So your improvement is coming. But it's the starting point that makes you wonder, when will the finish line come into view, you know, even blurry view?
Yeah, look, I get it. And from, you know, the perspective of the fans out there, and we've had the opportunity to talk to some of them, it's amazing how optimistic the fans still truly are about this team, even going into the last six games. And that kind of feeds into the fan feedback question that we'll get into here in a couple minutes, Mike. But look, I think that there are reasons to be optimistic. You mentioned the amount of points they gave up this year compared to last year. I do think when you watch what this defense was able to do this season, once they got in place the pieces that they wanted on that defense, Josh Evans came into the lineup. It's different watching. Like right now I'm watching the tape from last year's Tennessee game, the first game they won. It is remarkable how much of an impact on field Paul Posluszny and Mercedes Lewis has for this team. I mean, it is remarkable how much they impacted what that team was able to do last year in that particular game, because Posluszny forces a fumble on the first offensive play of the game for Tennessee in their territory. They take that ball down the field. The touchdown run for Maurice Jones-Drew, he actually made a really good cut, but Mercedes Lewis is running the defensive end 10 yards across the field on that block. They don't have those two guys. And if you're looking at the veteran leadership on both sides of the ball for a really young team outside of those areas, they're both gone. They're not on the field. They're not out there with these guys right now. And you have a lot of young guys trying to figure out how to do it in this league all at the same time. I put what happened on Sunday against Dallas more on a young team having a day where everything kind of went against them, as opposed to the 3 or 4 weeks before that where they made a couple mistakes in a game, but it felt like they kept the float in those games. They didn't win, but they kept the float in those games, not getting the results you want to see for a team that's improving, but you could see the improvement from the team in those three losses before that. Sunday, you couldn't.
Yeah, you can look at it any way you want to. Certainly, the bottom line is they're 1-9 through 10 games like they were at this point last year, because they won the Tennessee game, they lost the next week, and then they won three in a row. So they're at the exact same point, and to keep pace with last year, just in the win-loss column, they'd have to win their next three coming out of the bye. Maybe you think they're going to, maybe you don't. I have not seen evidence that would indicate they're ready to get on a three-game winning streak, although granted, last year you didn't see any of that evidence either.
No.
Coming out of week eight. The question of the day, which you alluded to, the fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, is simply this. Out of the remaining games on the schedule, and this is what the Jags have coming up. They're at Indy next week. They've got the Giants coming in here, Houston coming in here. They go to Baltimore, Tennessee on a Thursday night, and then Houston on the road to finish out. How many of those do you think this team is going to win? Not how many could they win, not how many would you like to see them win. The answer probably to that is six, I would imagine. Although there are probably some fans that are saying, you know what, at this point, they're thinking about the D word. They're thinking about the draft, or at least whether they're thinking specifically about it. The big picture is, what kind of position are you going to put yourself in to acquire good players? I think for this team, it's more important for them to figure out how to win and get that feeling of winning football games. Now that you've got your quarterback in place, I don't know if there's that one guy that's going to be at the top of the draft. You're always better off. The higher you pick, you have more of a selection. But I don't know if there's that one guy I sit there this year and say, other than the fact I'd like to be in position to benefit from a trade, if somebody wants to come up and get a quarterback.
Right.
You can get good players wherever you draft. There are good players that are going to be drafted after the Jags select in the first round that go off the board before their next pick. So, choose wisely. And I don't think it's going to make that big of a difference. I think for this young team, they need to have the feeling of winning some football games and what it's like to be able to put that together and be able to start building some expectations that, how are you going to make that leap from this year to next that Dave Caldwell talked to me about last week in London, Tony, where you're competing in games this year? Yeah, they've been more competitive in more games, although not all of them, okay? And when I say competitive, were they competitive against Dallas? Well, not in the second half.
No.
So then they weren't competitive.
No.
Then, right? So, I mean, they're competitive up to a point, but if you're going to be competitive into the fourth quarter of games, how do you make the leap from just simply being in position to finishing those games and knowing how to win? Gus Bradley yesterday talking about, how he always talks about the race to maturity, says it needs to speed up now. They get it, man. I mean, they have to get it at this point in time. That you can't sell that they believed 1-9 would be where this football team would be right now.
No, they didn't sell that at all. They felt like they were going to be able to win a game or two early. And look, you're right, Mike. For this team, the conversation doesn't need to be about the draft because they've drafted their quarterback. Teams that are talking about draft are teams that are playing that game still of when are we going to get our franchise guy. I think the Jags are going to be looking probably defensive end, maybe Leo with that first pick of the draft. We'll see when we get to that point. I think for now, and it's the frustration you're hearing from the players with guys like Cecil Shorts talking in the locker room yesterday and from the coaching staff and Gus Bradley, that frustration that the fans are feeling, they're feeling it in that locker room too, where they kept telling us during the first month of the season when things weren't very good against Philadelphia and Washington and Indianapolis, they kept coming out and saying, look, we're closer than it looks. We're making a mistake or two. One or two guys are getting out of position. And then on defense, they figured some things out after that for about a month. They really did. They played much better. They got some things going. Maybe the injuries that they've been suffering for the last two or three weeks on that side of the ball are finally catching up to this team as well, because you talked about the gulf that they were trying to cross. Well, now you're trying to cross it with backup guys on a team that was trying to cross a huge gulf anyway, catching up. So it's a difficult process for them, but they know that in order for it to work, you have to start getting results. Playing competitive isn't good enough. When you get in games where it feels like you can win, that Tennessee game, go win the thing. I mean, you have an opportunity. It's right there in front of you.
Several of those games you can say the same thing about.
Go win it.
Go win the Pittsburgh game.
Right. Go win Pittsburgh. Don't throw two pick sixes against Miami and see where that game winds up. Cincinnati. I keep going back to that Cincinnati game and comparing this 2014 to the 2013 team. If they had committed the mistakes that they committed in that Bengals game last year, this team gets beat by 30.
Yeah.
I don't have a doubt that they get beat by 30. And this year, they're down 3 in the fourth quarter. They still kill themselves with a kick out of bounds, and then you give up the 60-yard play inexplicably. It can't happen, can't be allowed to happen. It's inexcusable for the team to allow that to happen at that point in the game. But still, they're better enough that they make that a three-point game in the fourth quarter, and I don't think they can get close to that with what they had last year.
Maybe not, but again, it's a matter of degree. Better, I grant you. Better in the level of performance, not better in the results ultimately, and that's because you're starting from so far back of the field right now. Giving up the most points in the National Football League, so you're better, but to what degree? You're not,
right.
You know, you're not even approaching middle of the pack in that regard. We'll get into it today with you, 641-1010. What are your reasons for hope? What gives you hope over these final six games of the season? I would imagine a lot of people would be Blake Bortles, and that's fine. But what, you know, taking a critical look at this team now on the bye week, what are your expectations for the final six games of the season? That is the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight question of the day. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren. And that is just a simple, how many games you think they're going to win? The schedule is what we said it was, with Indy coming up, the New York Giants. You've got Houston twice. You've got Tennessee. You go to Baltimore as well. How many of those games do you think they will be able to pull out victories in? And share your thoughts on the final six games. What do you want to see get accomplished? I'm not going to turn this into a draft show. We're not at that point anywhere close. But it is just listening to the buzz, you know, the groundswell when you hear people come up to you, talk about the draft, the people who do call in or tweet at you. With Denard Robinson's emergence, you're hearing less and less Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley is never going to be a consideration. There's no way this football team is drafting a running back with a top 10 pick. There's still way too many critical areas that they need to shore up. And Denard Robinson's play, I think, will make that even abundantly more clear, or has up to this point, the way he's played over the last month. But you're welcome to weigh in on any of the above. 641-1010. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks here with you. It's Jaguars Today. We're live at Everbank Field in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Counting stars, are we counting victories on the schedule, Lauren? For the
we sort of are.
Sort of are.
This is One Republic.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
One Republic. Is that the clue? That was the clue. I know it's One Republic, but the song is Counting Stars.
Mm-hmm.
One. That's how many wins the Jags have.
You got it.
Are you serious?
That's depressing. I'm serious.
We're counting to one.
Yep.
We made it.
What? Hey, that means my expectations are low. So if we get more than one, I'm a happy camper.
I'm going to count to one by ones now. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Oh, man. I tell you what, it is, look, enthusiasm and rational thought don't always inhabit the same space. Let's just put it that way. You know what I mean? And look, last year, if you had said the Jags are going to win four of the next five games, and I got a tweet yesterday, stop saying 4-5. They won 4 out of 16. All right, but we're talking about the one stretch of prosperity they had. It's clearly,
right.
If you're sick of hearing it, turn it off, because it's going to get referenced, because it's that time of the year when they are in that little mode when they went on a streak, the best play of the season. They got results in the one loss column. So you're going to hear it. If you're sick of hearing that reference, obviously it was 4 out of 16 games. Nobody's discounting the overall record of this team. They're 1-9 for the third consecutive year. for the first 2 years of this regime. It's not good.
People are mad.
Well, I think some of them are, and you've got others. Well, you got others that are saying they're going to win six games because they're unabashed, you know, teal glasses wearing people, and that's fine.
Sure.
There's a mix out there. You can't categorize everybody into one little thing, but I think, Tony, you're starting – Gus Bradley's comments yesterday seemed to indicate to me that I don't know if it's internal pressure. I don't know what it is. You know, he talks about you can't focus on the result. Well, yeah, you can. I'm sorry. You do. In the end, I understand that as a thought process, and that's great for a building team. But in the end, it is about wins and losses. I mean, you know, the improvement, you're not going to be able to go to Shad Khan next year and say, hey, we're 1-9, but look, we've scored more points and allowed fewer again for the second consecutive year. That doesn't work.
Well, no, and I think on a broader point, last year it shouldn't have been about results in the game. I think even early this year with the decision you made to go as young as you did, that it doesn't necessarily have to be about wins or losses. When he's talking to the guys in the locker room, I think at some point in this season, when you get the game against Pittsburgh that you could have won if you execute, when you win the game against Cleveland, when you should have been in it with Miami if you're not shooting yourself in the foot again, when you have an opportunity up in Cincinnati to win a game, that dialogue needs to change. There needs to be a serious moment in that locker room where it goes from, we can't focus on the results, to, look, boys, we need results. If we're going to be in it for 4 out of 5 weeks, getting one of them isn't good enough. And I think that, look, we talked about it a little bit this week, that this is a team that's been willing to hold people accountable for what they're doing on the football field. Winston Guy got sent out. Cam Bradfield got sent out. Dakota Watson yesterday got sent packing because they simply weren't doing enough on the field to allow themselves the opportunity to still be a Jacksonville Jaguars player. I think that there have been messages sent to guys like Dwayne Grotz. Your play's not good enough. You're going to sit down and watch somebody else do it for a while, and maybe that'll help you out. I think that they're trying to send messages to some of these young guys. It's just you're replacing young guys with young guys.
Yeah, I don't even think it's a message. I think it's just a reality. It's a result of your play.
Right.
I don't think you're trying to say, hey, rest the locker room, pay attention here. That's an ancillary fallout.
At some point, the result has to matter. And I think that the fans in the city want to hear their head coach say, they don't want to hear him say, we can't focus on the result. Yes, we can. For a couple days. And look, I think that the players are bothered by the results that they're getting for the last 5 weeks. So the message maybe that he's trying to send with the quote is a little bit different than maybe even what's happening with the team behind the scenes. But it should be about the result at some point, even for a young team. This is year two. Go win. Win. Don't be competitive in games. If you're going to be competitive in five of them, then win two or three of them.
Right, win three of those five.
Right.
Right, you don't have to win them all. You're not going to win every game that you're in. I mean, there are a lot of close losses in the National Football League, but you're still, you know, and again, not competitive this week, right?
No.
I mean, you're competitive for a quarter is not competitive.
No, this week they were not.
You have to have a chance to win at some point in the second half or to feel like you're in the game. I never felt like they were in the game.
They blew that opportunity with 4 minutes left in the half.
Pretty much, right. And, it, you know, that kind of cemented it. But, honestly, the way the offense is playing this year, and the struggle that it is to score points, I don't know if that really would have mattered if they get that touchdown or not in the big picture, scheme of things. Certainly would have given them a better opportunity. And yes, they did come back against Cincinnati, but it's 2 games out of 10 where they topped 17 points this year.
Yep.
So, you know, and now Allen Robinson, now Marquise Lee. It's great that he's had good weeks of practice, okay? But he's been having these on an offense that's struggling to score points. He was a high draft pick. There's every incentive to get this guy rolling. And, yes, there's going to be more thrust upon him now with Allen Robinson out, but seize that. The opportunity was there to seize it before Allen Robinson
sure.
was out. And he hasn't been able to do that yet. And now, you know, Gus saying that he wants Marquise Lee to focus in on just the aspect of being a receiver, and that takes out a potential guy in the return game because A. Sanders, frankly, is not getting it done.
Look, the last six games of the season for me, Mike, if it came down to one thing that you want to see, obviously I'd like to see the team start winning some of these games, but I think I want to see Blake Bortles finish drives and finish games. And we haven't seen that from even the game they won against Cleveland. They get the punt that gets fumbled, inside their own 10-yard line by Cleveland. That's point-blank range where he just hands it off to Denard, and that gives him a touchdown there. They have the interception that brings it down inside the 10-yard line again. These aren't Blake Bortles being given the ball with 3.5 minutes and we're down four and go get it done.
Yeah.
He hasn't, in that opportunity, shined yet. I think that it's time at this point in the season, and I think the last couple weeks we heard Jeff Loggeman talk about it a little bit yesterday, that rookie wall. About 8 or 9 games into the regular season for rookies when
you
start hitting that wall. Well, now you got the bye week. Reset, come out, let's see that Chris player that we saw against San Diego and a little bit against Pittsburgh, and let's see him finish some drives. Let's see them have an opportunity with the ball late in games, him finish those drives when it matters, when it's crunch time, because we haven't seen a whole lot from that.
There are winnable games on the schedule now.
No doubt.
Tennessee is eminently winnable at home. In fact, if there's any I would expect them to win, it would be that one. Thursday night game. You've already come down to the wire on the road with that football team. They'll be playing a rookie quarterback as well. Houston, very beatable. They're going with Ryan Mallett, for goodness sake.
Yep.
Right now, just to find out what he's got, if he's worth keeping around. Indy, going to be tough. Giants, you never know, honestly. And Baltimore...
Schizo,
Baltimore's a little schizo themselves, but I would put that more towards one of those that's...
It's a tough road trip. I mean, in December, that's a tough road trip.
For a team that's probably right there in the thick of it.
Right, but we don't know how they're going to be playing when they get to that point, because they do have a bunch of those other games before we get there.
Yeah.
I mean, they go to Indianapolis, be competitive with Indianapolis. I think that's what most of the fans want to see. Give yourself an opportunity in the second half to make that still a ball game. When you come back home against the Giants... Look, the reason the Giants are schizo is because teams get after them a little bit and they kind of shrink. Then get after them and be one of those teams that forces them to shrink a little bit in that moment. I think they're capable of that. I wouldn't expect them to do that, the Jags, with what we've seen, but they're capable of that. And then you have the Houston game, then it's Baltimore.
Right.
And I think there's an opportunity with those two games before that, with the Giants and Houston, for this team to have some momentum by the time they get to that game going on the road against Baltimore. But they got to go grab it.
It's all open to you, 641-1010. Jump on board. James going to lead us off today on Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Hi, James.
Hello?
James, what's up? Yeah, how are you?
Hi. I remember, I was just sitting there thinking, a minute, a couple of guys were talking last night, and we were thinking to have a young team and to also have a young coach. Maybe that could be the problem, because I was looking at Philadelphia and I see that they also have a young coach, but they have a lot of veterans on that team. And with wisdom comes finding the ways to win, and it seems like we can't find that.
I suppose there's something potentially to that. You know, I mean, Gus Bradley's made his share of mistakes as well. You hope all of these guys come along and, kind of improve together, right? But I think there's maybe something to that, Tony. He could have managed a few games better along the way. I don't know if, you know, what was made of the fact Andy Reid went to Kansas City last year. Well, he had a lot of material to work with. Now,
yes,
did he know how to mold it quicker than a first-year coach would have been able to do? Probably so. But the raw material was certainly there. The raw material, I don't care, Vince Lombardi, risen from the grave, was not going to make the Jags a playoff team last year like Andy Reid helped make Kansas City. Yeah, it just wasn't going to happen. So, but no, I think that's a valid question. You've got a young guy, despite the fact that we think Dave Caldwell is sharp, and he's come up under some pretty good guys by the likes of Bill Poley and Thomas Dimitroff, you know, kind of learned under their guidance, that he's going to make some mistakes. I mean, not all of his picks. Look, Dakota Watson's a mistake in the end. It's not a mistake that cripples you financially.
No.
He brought this guy in to start for you, basically. I mean, the opportunity was there for him to seize the auto position. They wanted him to be that guy. Injuries set him back at the outset, but then he struggled to grasp the position and then flat out didn't play well when
right.
he got the opportunity to get on the field.
And they kind of knew that a couple weeks ago, and I think they let everybody else know that that's how they felt about Dakota when they're letting Jeremiah George start at middle linebacker so they can keep JT Thomas on the field at auto. I mean, that's not why JT was brought here. He is a middle linebacker. That's what he's played in his career to this point. And for them to make that decision, obviously Jeremiah George goes down. Now you have Dakota Watson back in the lineup. And it was almost, it felt like a one-week trial against Dallas. All right, Dakota,
one more
chance.
Right, one more try.
Here it is. And he didn't play well. And now he's out the door. And we've talked about the swings and misses at linebacker for this team to this point. I mean, Geno Hayes is a guy that's been okay for this team. Paul Posluszny's injured right now. They have a guy like JT Thomas who's playing well at times, didn't play so well against Dallas this week, but have played pretty well the last couple weeks. But when you're bringing in Geno Hayes and Dakota Watson and JT Thomas, I mean, that's the level of guy that you're bringing in. You're hoping that something sticks, and to this point, nothing has. At that position, I mean, it's clearly something they're going to have to look at going into the offseason.
Impact linebacker is one of the biggest needs this football team has. Both outside spots. I think JT Thomas is a nice player.
I do, too.
And he's very versatile, and I love that. And maybe you get by with him as your starting auto, you know, but if you could, if
you'd
you
more
could,
want him to be a swing
if
guy.
If he was your fourth linebacker, right. Exactly, that would be much more ideal. So, you know, this is one of the positions I think that's going to be high on the pecking order, and, you know, which, again, I don't want to belabor the whole point about Todd Gurley, but put it out of your minds, all right? They're not going running. They never, even before Denard Robinson did that, they weren't taking Todd Gurley or any other running back with a top 10 pick.
I'd be surprised, honestly, Mike, if they take a running back before the fourth, fifth round.
Oh, absolutely.
With all the needs they have on this team, I'd be surprised.
You got walk-in starting positions on this football team, Tony, that – you know, you get later in the draft, you can find running backs, right? And who knows? Maybe Storm Johnson turns out to be the complement ultimately. And Toby Gerhardt, as Dave Caldwell discussed last week, if ultimately he turns out to be a third down linebacker, his contract is friendly enough to keep him around for the next couple of years. This could be the Denard Robinson show with Toby Gerhardt / Storm Johnson picking up the scraps of what's left after Denard gets the lion's share of the attention. Let's get Greg up here next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I actually think they're going to win four of the next six games. I think they're going to sweep the Texans, beat Tennessee, and steal one from the Giants.
Why is that? Because you think the schedule, or you think that the week off they're going to come out and play better football?
Well, if you notice, in the past, they always finished it, seems like they finished the year pretty strong for whatever reason. As many games that they have taken away from them this year that they could have won or should have won, I think it's about time for them to steal one from somebody. I think the Giants would be that game.
All right. Look, it's certainly possible. All those games we just kind of laid out, I think Baltimore and Indy are the trickiest ones. But you can't, in the NFL, you can't rule out winning any of those games, Tony. However, you know, in terms of the Jags finishing strong, despite the fact that they won four out of five, they lost the last three games last year.
Yep.
You know, so in the full retrospective of things, it was a nice month-long run, basically, that they had, and they got results out of it. But, you know, they didn't ultimately finish strong in the month of December last year. I got James up before we break here, 641-1010. Good morning, James. You're on Jaguars Today. What's going on?
Good morning, Mike. Welcome back.
Thanks.
You know, Mike, for the past 17 years going to the stadium, this year is one that I guess is most disappointing, and here's why. Unfortunately, we're going to end up the year, you know, minus three in the win column, which is, you know, a little head scratching because, you know, the team's a year older with a rookie. You know, I would say, Mike, we could win some of these games in the second half if we weren't so banged up. And that's not an excuse. It's next man up. And that's every team in the league is got players down. You know, losing Robinson doesn't help on the offense. You know, your defense, your linebackers are down. You're cutting guys. Corners can't cover wide receivers on their free. Again, I don't see them. They're definitely not beating Indy and the Giants. It's not going to happen. Eli's not going to get touched. We know they're not going to get to Andrew Luck. Baltimore in Baltimore is a loss. Beating Tennessee here at night, this team still hasn't proven they can play when the chips are down. And then it's in the air. I don't think they're going to beat Houston because their pass rush is too good. I don't care who they have at quarterback. They got the defensive line that wreaked havoc. So it's odd. It's odd in the second half, which is disappointing. Which really sucks. Let's just be honest, Mike. You know, it's hard going to work and seeing your friends when you're the laughing stock. You know, the guys down at the stadium can try to sell me, well, we're getting better. Okay, you're right. You're getting better. I don't know what you're watching, but I can tell you what I see from my seat in the stadium. is loss after loss, bad play after bad play after bad play. Dallas game is an example. Good play, what happened? Fumbled, touchdown. Good run by Cecil, next play, what happened? Fumble. End of the half, you get beat 101, 70-yard touchdown. Game's over. And that's
James,
bad.
That's James, bad let me jump in. Look, I understand everything you're saying, and 1-15 would suck. There's no question about that. I'm going to go back to my original point, Tony. I do think they're getting better, record or not. I think their play is improving. The problem is it's improving to now they're closer to being right there at the back of the pack, right? They were so far behind the pack last year that improvement has just brought them into sight of the worst teams in the league when you talk about points allowed and points scored. And those are your two most important statistics, right? Those are the things that lead directly to the wins and losses. And
sure,
I get, you know, turnovers and third down efficiency and all these factors that go into it. In the end, turn it over 100 times. If you don't let them score against Cleveland, Blake Bortles turning it over, he did it in the right spot on the field. The defense was able to stop and only allow 3 points off of 3 turnovers in that football game. So it's points is what it boils down to. They're scoring more, they're allowing fewer, but that's just put them within sight of the bottom of the pack right now in the National Football League instead of being in kind of on an island on their own.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a team that obviously everyone wants to see results from this Jacksonville Jaguars team, and they're not getting them right now. I think that, honestly, Mike, I would like to see what it looks like if they just played a clean game. I mean, just play a clean game where special teams isn't doing something to shoot you, where you're not turning the ball over 2 times on offense. Just play one game where you're not doing that, and let's see what it looks like. And I get that the other team forces opportunities sometimes, that the other guys on the other side of the field make plays too. And there are times when they're going to make plays, but it feels like more often than not to this point this year that it doesn't matter if the talent level on the team is rising, they're getting in their own way. And for a team that is still trying to learn how to win in the league, you can't keep blocking yourself from opportunities to win games. And to this point this year, that's what Jacksonville has done. They keep killing themselves. They can't do that for the last 6 games.
All right, Metro Rooter Wednesday continues, 641-1010. If you want to get on board, we'll hear from Gus Bradley and Allen Robinson, whose season ended with a foot injury. That coming up, it's Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Ah, 1-1-1-1-1. Enough with the one. We're going to get some U2 here, I think, before the show is over with.
Change it up.
Is my guess.
Need to fix it.
Well, one, right.
We're going to get Metallica one?
Might, I don't know.
Just wait and see.
Warren's playlist away right now. Metro Rooter Wednesday for all size plumbing jobs in home. Commercial plumbing for your business, industrial, septic system. Whatever the issue, Metro Rooter's got the solution with same-day service Saturday and Sunday included. The right people, the right equipment, serving Jacksonville since 1978. That would be my friends at Metro Rooter, and you can visit them at MetroRooter.com. I say my friends, anyone who takes as good a care of you as they advertise, they will. I like people who deliver what is promised, and Metro Rooter does that. I've had them out to my house. When I need plumbing work done, that's the call I make, 695. 1911. Now, I don't want to do this on the air, but if you have a suggestion for a bank that I can switch my service to, I'm closing out my account today. I'm not going to name the bank, Tony. I've got, like, we bank with my wife and I have, like, our main family account with one bank. I've got a separate, what I just call the vacation fund for any random monies,
right,
that are not critical to the, you know, week-to-week upkeep of the homestead. They go into, quote-unquote, the vacation fund, which is used for a lot of things, including vacations.
Mm-hmm.
But and so when I went to London, that was the account. I said, well, if I want a little spending money, I want access to it, that's the account it's coming out of. I went to the bank, made sure everything was supposedly in order. Long stories short, multiple occasions calling them from London. It's all screwed. I can't get my money. You promised me I could get my money. Oh, no, sir. Now you should be able to get your money. Couldn't get your money. And come to find out, yesterday, they said I was on a list because my card may have been compromised at a Home Depot. Do you think maybe they would have, I don't know, told me that at some point?
Before you went
instead
overseas?
Instead of just blocking me from getting my money. And then they said, oh, well, when we when you called on Saturday, again, at the cost of $1 a minute, thank you very much, from the United Kingdom, to try to get the situation rectified, they didn't notice, oh, yes, this says this is the reason why you're not able to get your cash. I'm just done with them. So if you got a good bank, oh, I want some free checking and some convenience, and people aren't going to screw you over, give me a suggestion. I'd be happy to take it at MD_1010XL. Note, I did not name the financial institution.
No, you did not.
Do not assume you know who it is.
Okay? It's not mine. That's that much I know.
It's not Tony's bank.
No.
Tony loves his bank. So there you have it. Did not crush anyone personally on that. I'm sure there are a lot of fine people that work for this establishment, just not the people I was dealing with on this particular issue. It's not the first time when I've gone out of town that I have issues with this. All right, moving on. 641-1010. We'll get to some comments from Gus Bradley and Alan Robinson coming up. Let's get some more of your calls in today. Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight simply asking you how many wins left on the schedule for this 1-9 football team as it lays out. At Indy, got the New York Giants and Houston coming in back-to-back. They go to Baltimore. Well, Tennessee on a Thursday night, and they go to Houston to wrap up the season. Final six games. How many are you looking for? By the way, let's see. Little Grandma says, haven't used banks since 1988. Credit Union all the way. Yeah, I've got – I'm not even going to say. I was venturing into territory there. I'm open to credit unions as well, Little Grandma. Thank you for the tweet. Appreciate that. I've gotten several already suggestions. Thank you very much for that. People. And, I'm even considering the old, buried in the backyard in cans.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I like access to my cash, Tony.
That's
you
right.
know, I'm not really a prepper because I'm too lazy to be a prepper.
That's right.
Maybe if I had the kind of money that it would take, I'd pay someone to prep for me.
Colin's gonna be in school one day. Daddy puts all his money in the mattress because he doesn't trust banks.
Right. You guys wanna come over and play after school today? Yeah, we're gonna go straight to the mattress. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that, son. Pat, you're up next this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. My question for you guys, we hold the players accountable, but after blocked punts, after blocked field goal attempts twice in one game, players that can't catch the ball, no pressure on punters, lousy punt coverage, how does the special teams guy keep his job? That's what I'm wondering.
Well,
and I'll take it off of you.
Yeah, the special teams has not been good this year. There's no question about it. Now, again, I'm not making excuses here, but you look at these things individually, okay? On a blocked field goal, Tony, I'm quite sure it's not, at least I say I'm quite sure. In my mind, I'm pretty confident, having, you know, talked to Logman about it and him watching the film and really singling out guys. Guys are getting physically overmatched
right.
in some of these instances. I don't know how you coach around that circumstance. I'm sure, look, it's pretty basic. You kick a field goal. Protections on the field goal unit, I think, are probably pretty basic, you know? And I would think more often than not, it's not poor coaching. You're not being not told the correct way to do things. It's just that you're not either capable of doing them or not, in that instance, executing your simple assignments. Because honestly, you know, occasionally you're going to see guys make a superior play on the other side of the football. But field goals are rarely blocked in the National Football League. Punts are rarely blocked in the National Football League. They've had a rash of issues. There's no question about it. Special teams has not been good, you know, all around this year. You could put in some areas. Todman's been okay as a kickoff returner. You know, nothing that you really say, wow, I remember that 70-yarder, that game-changing, momentum-changing play. But he hasn't killed you in that department. And unfortunately, that's, you know, kind of the highest standard that they have right now. Not killing you is a good thing.
Well, and they've been fine, I think, on punt return. They had the one big one last week against Cincinnati. But if you go back and watch that one, that was an overreaction to the two punts being blocked. Telvin Smith basically stayed in way longer than he should have, when his responsibility is to get downfield, but he had just had a guy run by him and block a punt, so he wasn't going to allow that to happen again in the game. That was an overreaction to what had happened within that game. And other than that, they really haven't been bad. I'm looking at the numbers right now. They're giving up 8.1 yards a return, which is right around 12th in the league as far as allowing punt returns this year. So they've been all right.
They've been okay, sure. I'm not saying they're terrible in every single area, but they're not great in any area.
No.
And they've been glaringly bad in some areas.
And when you go back to last year when they were winning 4 out of 5 games, go watch how many mistakes they made in special teams. Because of what many. I mean, it's for a team that's trying to learn how to win games, you can't shoot yourself in places where it's about just flat-out execution for one play. And this year, there's been this rash of problems with that. And I'm not sure that it's because the special teams coach all of a sudden has forgotten how to coach special teams. I think it's that there's one guy that's not doing the job. And I think they've switched around their personnel on special teams a lot this year to try to figure out who's going to do what and who's doing what well. It is uncanny that they seem to be finding a new way to botch it on special teams on a weekly basis. I mean, they hadn't muffed the punt yet. Glory be.
Stop it.
We finally saw that this
week.
I joked around last night. I was like, well, they haven't given up a kick return yet, and I'll say it this week. I won't say it next week when they're actually getting ready for Indianapolis. But, I mean, they found new ways every week to blow it from a special teams perspective. That has to stop right now.
All right, Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight. How many W's do you see on the schedule for the Jags and the remaining 6? Tweet at MD_1010XL. At 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, and also you can post your replies at facebook.com/Jaguars Today. Coming up, the state in football history, the Honda drive around the NFL still to come. Gus Bradley, Allen Robinson catching up with those guys yesterday down here at Everbank, all right here on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
Oh, yes it is. This date in football history is brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date, football history, November 12th, 1995, Miami quarterback Dan Marino passed Fran Tarkenton to become the NFL's all-time passing leader. At the time, 47,003 yards, as Marino hit Irving Fryer with a touchdown on the play that passed him. He would go on to throw for about 14,000 more yards before his career was done. Dan Marino selected, what was it, 26th overall?
Mm-hmm.
27th overall.
Something like that,
He said, uh-huh.
I knew it was 26, and I knew it was mid-20s.
I'm just giving you a hard time, because I would have done the same thing. He was the 6th quarterback selected in the first round, Tony. It was the year of the QB, right? You had Elway and Kelly and Marino mm-hmm. in the first round. How about this stalwart group that followed the first round of the NFL draft in 1983? Jeff Christensen. Going to the Cincinnati Bengals with the 137th overall pick. You had Reggie Collier going to the Dallas Cowboys with the 162nd pick. You had Babe Laufenberg in round 6, 168th overall, going to the Washington Redskins. You had Gary Kubiak. How about Gary Kubiak? Going to the Broncos with pick 197. You had Tom Ramsey from UCLA going in what was round 10. They had a longer draft back then. New England Patriots selecting Ramsey. Bruce Matheson going to the San Diego Chargers with pick 272. Good old Jim Bob Taylor out of Georgia Tech. Remember him well? Baltimore Colts selection in round 11, followed by Dave Mangrum, and that was it in round 12. And then you had Scott Lindquist wrapping things up, the 333rd overall selection by the L.A. Raiders. Back in
a little top heavy in 83.
A little bit top heavy right there. You got 3 Hall of Famers and Ken O'Brien, the magnificent Ken O'Brien, which clearly the right selection.
Right. If you ever wonder why Jets fans boo, go back and look at it.
That's one of the many reasons. One of the many. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry on Gate Parkway. Whether it's a family dentist, cosmetic work you need done, the stop snoring mouth guard custom fitted for you, 620-9225. Visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
A tough day yesterday for a couple teams fighting for a wild card spot in the NFC. Both Seattle and San Francisco chasing the Arizona Cardinals in the NFC West. Both got some bad news on the injury front. For the 49ers, linebacker Patrick Willis has been placed on injured reserve. He will miss the rest of the season with a toe injury. For Seattle, defensive tackle Brandon Mebane has also been placed on injured reserve with a torn hamstring, which sounds terrible. Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll says that he thinks Meebane was in the midst of his best season as a pro. Adrian Peterson's grievance hearing is expected to occur on Monday, with arbitrator Shaim Daws expected to oversee the proceedings. After the hearing, according to the collective bargaining agreement, the independent arbitrator will render a decision within 5 days of the date of that hearing. So there will be a decision from the arbitrator by next Saturday, but it is expected earlier than that in the week. It still remains unclear when Peterson may be back on the field, as even after the arbitrator makes a decision, the league could still hand down a suspension to him. It is unclear how long that suspension might be or if they plan on suspending Peterson at all. Peterson has missed the last 8 games with pay. The Vikings are 4-5 on the season, just 2 games out of the wild card in the NFC.
That's the thing. They're in position, you know, at 4-5. There are some bad teams this year that could make the playoffs. I mean, you've got New Orleans at 4-5 leading their division right now, despite losing to San Francisco. That division is putrid. Carolina started 3-2-1 and has dropped their last 4. I guess the tie with Cincinnati was the last positive result they had, and that was because Nugent missed a point-blank field goal. So
right.
Adrian Peterson will not play in Week 11. We know that, right, against Chicago. He's got his grievance hearing. Let's say he passes his grievance hearing. Will he be ready to go in Week 12, right? The grievance is Monday. Let's say he gets in by Wednesday. I guess he could practice for a few days and potentially play against Green Bay. The question is, does the organization want to play him?
Right.
At this point, you got to wonder if they've made the decision in their head that they're moving on from him after the season. He's got like a $12 million salary and cap figure for next year. Are they going to risk losing sponsorships? Will the sponsors not complain as much because it was a misdemeanor that ultimately it got ruled down to? You just don't know. Ray Rice's situation got ruled down to a misdemeanor as well. So it was the graphic nature of the video that I think got sponsors up in arms about Ray Rice.
Right.
And we've seen the pictures with Adrian Peterson's kid. So I don't know which way that situation's going to go. But I'm more concerned with, is he going to swoop in and be in someone's lineup against me in the fantasy playoffs at this point in time, Tony?
We'll see, and that's about the timing of it with Adrian Peterson. He's going to
really
help you in the playoffs or he's not. And we'll see. As far as, you know, a guy like Adrian Peterson, after the way that he recovered from that ACL and the season he had coming off of it, you don't question his ability to accomplish anything on the field once he's back on it. Now, the question
right now, you shouldn't be shocked, but that doesn't guarantee that he's going to have the same kind of results.
No, but it's certainly, you don't know, it's all up in the air right now. You don't know what the arbitrator is going to say at this point. You don't know, after whatever the arbitrator says, what the NFL is going to try to do. And if they try to suspend him for 2 games or something along those lines, well, now you know the Players Association is going to appeal it. So he may be back for a week. How ready is he to play for that week while he's appealing that suspension? Who knows?
Right. Hey, management tells the coaching staff, Adrian's not going to play until he's 100% ready, right?
Physically and mentally.
Right. Physically and mentally, and you feel like he gives us the best option and la-di-la-di-la-di.
Right.
And, whatever they want to have happen is what they can have happen, by the way. So, 25 carries for 75 yards. He only played 1 game this year. 21 for 75, so you really can't get a great gauge. It's not a great yards per carry. He's had those games, though, in the recent past, and then he counteracts that with, you know, some monster games. But coming off a 2,000-yard season, Tony, he played 14 games last year, and he averaged 4.5 yards a carry, which was pretty much in line with what he had done for most of his career. It was just that in that 2,000-yard season, he averaged 6 yards a carry.
Right.
I don't think we'll ever see that level of Adrian Peterson again. I mean, age does catch up. He is human. He is a phenomenal player. He's more inhuman than most, as far as that goes. But I don't think we'll ever see anything really approaching that. Could he have a 1,500-yard season? Well, prior to 2012, he only had 1 in the first 5 years of his career. You look at it that way, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
He's missed some games. 2012 is the only year he played all 16 games. A lot of speculation that Jerry Jones would like to bring him to Dallas. Jerry Jones has alluded to the fact that, you know, bordered on tampering, making comments of that ilk. DeMarco Murray's a free agent, despite the fact that he's having a tremendous year. They are, you know, in theory, running him into the ground.
They really are.
Right? And going to let
him
go. He's
got, what, like 245 carries? Something like that already?
He does, but man, again, you look at, did it look like a physically grueling game for him to play this week against Jacksonville? That offensive line, I think, has him hitting the second level of the defense untouched so often that I don't think his 250-ish carries are the typical 250 carries for an NFL running back. You know what I mean?
Maybe not. I mean, but he's got 35 or 36 catches on the year too. I mean, he's touching the ball a ton.
He is.
And that's going to have, you know, some effect on a player. You only have so many touches in you, but for a guy that he touched the ball, I think the most in his career last year, he carried the ball something around 200 times. He's already well clear of that number. Look, he's been super effective. He's for about 5 yards a carry. He's 250 yards clear of anybody else in the league right now rushing. I mean, he's been the best runner in the league this year is DeMarco Murray. You can also see why he gets hurt as often as he does because he runs so violent.
He does.
And he doesn't run away from any kind of contact. He'll run right through people if that's the option he has.
But if you're making that contact with linebackers and guys in
corners,
the secondary
safeties,
more often than
right.
not, then you know, it's still contact, and you can get hurt on any play. And he has gotten hurt quite frequently in his career, like you said. But it's different than trying to stick it up in there and grind out two yards, and hope you pop one. I mean, that offensive line, we saw it on display.
No doubt.
This week. Pretty impressive stuff.
But
by the way,
he's going to wind up around, what, 400 carries on the
year? He is going to wind up around 400 carries. And right now, I don't see – look, you play for now, right? If you're Dallas –
heck yeah.
Tony Romo's got a back injury. He played very well this week, but you don't know how long Tony Romo's going to be able to go. I know they talk about 4 or 5 more years. You have no idea. Your window is immediate if you're the Dallas Cowboys. In that NFC right now, you've got an opportunity to do something. If you can get yourself back, you know, on a little bit of a streak right now, they dropped those two games, but before that, I think we're right up there, among the teams you would list as the biggest Super Bowl contenders. You look at Seattle. Every little nick that they get, Brandon Mebane yesterday, just one more chink in the armor, and overall 6-3. They're a good team, and with Arizona losing Carson Palmer now for the rest of the year with a torn ACL, maybe the best team in that division, although Drew Stanton played pretty well early in the season, and they're 8-1. Hard for me to see Seattle winning the Super Bowl for the second consecutive year for a number of reasons.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they're going to be on the road in the playoffs instead of teams having to come into that building, which is obviously a factor for them. So you're talking about them having to go to a place like, what, Detroit?
Well, how about this irony? When they were 7-9, right, they hosted defending Super Bowl champ New Orleans.
Right.
New Orleans is 4-5.
They might go there,
they could
yeah.
be hosting defending Super Bowl champ Seattle down there, and maybe Mark Ingram gives us the beast mode run this year instead of Marshawn Lynch.
Sure, because we all know how tough it is to win in that dome, too, against the New Orleans Saints. So they could be a team that goes into the and who knows with the way that division's going. They might finish 7-9 and win the whole thing.
Despite the loss to San Fran, they're 3-1 at home. So that was the first loss in the dome this year. But happy birthday, Allen Hurns, 23 years young.
Hey,
today.
Happy birthday.
So there you go. This date in football history, 23 years ago, Allen Hurns.
The role's expanding.
Came into this world.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that when we come back. We're going to hear from Allen Robinson and Gus Bradley coming up. Will it be Allen Hurns reasserting himself as one of the key receivers of the future, or will Marquise Lee take advantage of this great opportunity and open some eyes over the final half dozen games of the season? What about Cecil Shorts playing for a new contract, whether it's here or elsewhere? Can he use the momentum from a very solid outing and more against the Dallas Cowboys and do something as well over these next six that open some eyes and maybe keeps him here in Jacksonville or lands him a better contract somewhere else? 641-1010 if you want to weigh in. Don't forget the fan feedback spotlight today. How many wins in the last six? You know the schedule. If you don't, go look it up in my Twitter feed or anywhere else that you want to find it. It's right out there for you. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks here with you. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Yeah, we get it. One. I guess if it's a theme, we're going to keep getting it right there.
You don't want me to change the theme, do you?
No,
make
I don't
you try and guess another one.
No, I'm good on the theme. I basically gotten the theme 2 days in a row, I think.
Absolutely,
post,
you have.
Post-London theme getter is what you can call me.
I think all that mixed beer made you smarter.
All right, Alfie tweeted me, said, did anybody tell you Strongbow is cider? That's why it's sweet. I don't know, man. It was on tap, and it was, I believe it was British, and I had not tried it. So I don't drink that dark stuff. I'm not a Guinness guy, despite having the Irish roots. No.
This like
Guinness Blonde stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this? Guinness Blonde, American Lager. So in other words, it's not Guinness. It's some beer that you made to capitalize on whatever, Blonde. A beer that's called Blonde is not being consumed by me. That's just dumb.
Did the McDonald's taste the same, by the way?
I don't know. Shatter claimed it didn't. We got some, I didn't live in McDonald's. I went to McDonald's one time, because, it was 2 a.m. and we've been drinking, Tony, and where are you going to go? It's Mickey
right.
D's. It's on the way to the hotel. So, I don't know. I haven't had 2 a.m. drunk McDonald's in a while, so I can't really. I don't have a good frame of reference, but I think it tasted the same, pretty much.
Okay.
I don't know.
Just
did
curious.
You hear differently?
No. When I was there, when I was younger, I thought it tasted a little different. So
did it?
Just curious. Yeah.
I don't know.
But I also wasn't drunk. I was a lot younger. It wasn't after beer at 2 a.m.
All right. I mean,
slight
difference. What are you going to do? You know?
I mean,
look, the Union Jacks people were nice enough to throw a party.
Heck yeah. I was only 16, so if I had been a little older, I probably would have been drinking.
In London, you could probably get away with that.
My friends did. I just wasn't quite to the point where I was an alcoholic.
You're a good girl. No, an alcoholic.
No. I'm calling myself that.
Wow. I'll drink during Super Bowl week. That's about when I drink. I drink at the Coughlin J Fun wine tasting. I taste it, all right, but I get a hotel room. I really don't ever drink unless I'm in a hotel somewhere. And
soccer
I don't
game.
Have to drive. Soccer game, did you say? Yeah, it's true. I didn't drink at the soccer game. Not my kid's soccer game, by
no.
the way. I don't show up Saturday morning. A little booze breath. Let's go, boy.
Can't harder.
Come on, son. No, I do not. I'm looking forward. I missed 2 soccer games while I was away. That's a bummer.
Did they win without you?
They went 1-1. I'm not coaching this fall.
You're not?
Because I don't have time with the new schedule. Work is getting in the way. I'm going to coach in the spring and then retire. Hang it up.
I coached one season for little 5-year-olds. They were really cute, but they lost every game except the one game I didn't coach, and they won that
one. Oh, no.
So I decided that retiring was a very good idea.
That's probably a pretty strong omen. That
you're keeping score with 5-year-olds. Huh?
You held them back. Are you kidding me, man? Those kids know.
They knew.
They know from the moment they walk on the field how many goals are being scored. And because I'd always say, someone would say, hey, what's the score? And I'd say, I think it's whatever. And the kids would all go, no. No, it's 9-4 or whatever it is, because they know, because they keep track of that stuff. Man.
I honestly, when I was playing soccer when I was 5, no idea what the
no
score
idea?
Was at any time. No, I was just running around having a good time.
You were part
You're
of
so
the soft generation.
I was, I guess.
Soft Tony is what we should have called you. But how was Helmets and Heels last night, Lauren Brooks?
It was wonderful. Thank you, Mike Dempsey. We had Joelle Caldwell on, wife of General Manager Dave Caldwell, and chatted with her for about 15 minutes. She is such a sweet human being, and it was wonderful to kind of get an insight into their daily life. She and Dave, she said basically they kind of get away from football when they hang out, and then they also have their 7-year-old son and 3 dogs, so that kind of keeps them busy when Dave's not working.
And family trip to London, too.
Yes, that was their second year in going. She said it was a blast.
All right, now, what are we calling the Fat Tony Show on Tuesday nights now?
Fat Tony Show.
The Fat Tony Show?
Yeah.
All right, I'm just curious, because every show,
How about let's call it Fat Tuesdays?
I called Miller on Sports the Richard Miller Show for like 2 years, so
yeah,
I want to make
before.
Sure I get it.
For now,
right.
At least
Fat
it's
Tuesdays.
I like Fat Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Fat Tuesdays is pretty good, yeah.
Thank
that
you.
That is good.
Maybe
do it.
Down the pipe.
Gold star for Lauren. Right there. That's pretty good right there, man. It's a party. It's a sports party every Tuesday night on 1010XL.
I had fun last night. We had Mark Long on last night with me.
Oh!
I'm not sure.
Did you wear him out?
I guess I might have. I also had John Cooper on from Saturday Down South to talk about the latest college football release and Florida State, despite being 3-0, dropping down to number, or 9-0, dropping down to number 3 behind Oregon in the latest release there from the College Football Playoff Committee, and talked a lot about the SEC coming up this weekend. I also found a list, with it being Veterans Day, of the most patriotic movies of all time that I loved, because it was stuff like Red Dawn and these like cheesy action movies. Rocky IV was on the list. D2, The Mighty Ducks.
Rocky IV would be on the list.
That's
I never
right.
saw right.
He won the Cold War.
I mean, if he can change and you
anybody
can change,
can change.
They can all change.
That's right. There's two people in here.
Red Dawn is super patriotic.
Killing
man.
Each other.
We're killing Cubans and Russians like crazy. We may need to reprise that. I don't know about the Cubans, but
Independence Day was on there.
Of course.
Yeah.
Act of Valor was
any
on
actual
there.
Like war movies, any of that kind of stuff?
Not really. I mean, Act of Valor is technically a war movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was probably the only war movie that was on there.
All right.
The Patriot was in there. Is that technically? I guess there was the Revolutionary War in that one.
Yeah. That would be, I would think one called The Patriot would be
right.
among the most patriotic.
Right.
Yes.
And like Apollo 13 or something. But the reason I read the list was because Rocky IV was on there.
All right. Let's hear from a little Gus Bradley. They are Catch Fat Tuesdays and Helmets and Heels. It's sweeping the nation, ladies and gentlemen, every Tuesday night right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Gus, yesterday talking about the decision to give the Jags the rest of the week off.
We didn't do it last year. I think more mentally, I think that we had conversations what took place. And I think physically right now, just where we're at, to get everybody back to health. And you know, I think it'll be the best thing for us right now.
I don't have any problem with
that. I was about to say, I'm watching you guys come back into this building. Y'all look like zombies coming back on Tuesdays and Mondays in this building. I can't imagine what the players are going through after playing a game.
Yeah, well, by the way, what's up with OSHA trying to make me look bad as I took Monday off? And then he comes in, hey, you need me for the next 2 hours? I just got off a plane.
Right. Yeah, he came in. He did the two
Tough
hours
guy.
With me.
Yeah.
He was exhausted.
He must have slept on the plane.
Oh, my goodness. You should have seen him slumping, like, during the breaks. He just, eh. And then I'd be like, John, we're coming back. I'd almost have to poke him.
Good. Serves him right.
And say, hey, we're coming back. Coach Bradley also talked yesterday about, obviously, the big news yesterday, Allen Robinson being placed on IR with that broken foot.
He was doing very well for us and progressing very well. Before the game, I don't know where he was after the game, but before the game, he was one of the top receivers as far as being a rookie. So he had great development. And like we said with other guys, you don't want to downplay the impact that will have. He was an important part and doing very well.
Yeah, look, he was an important part, and I do think it will be a big impact. He was the best receiver, most consistent guy on this football team.
He was going to catch 70 to 80 passes for around 900 yards this year. I mean,
right.
That's the kind of pace he was on as a rookie, and part of that is just how much they were relying on him as the most consistent player among the young receivers on this team, and Cecil Shorts and missing time. Allen was the only guy that really hadn't during the regular season, but yet that's a big loss, and trying to find someone that can replace him in the lineup and the production he's given and the comfort level that Blake Bortles has with Allen Robinson already, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, we'll hear from Allen Robinson in a moment here. Marquise Lee, Gus Bradley talking about needs to, you know, step up, I say with the air quotes, because a bigger role is coming.
It'll give other guys an opportunity. I think we're excited with Marquise Lee. He's had 3 good weeks of practice. I thought last week was his best week of practice. The plays, he got in there a little bit more, but I think it'll force it now to where he'll get a lot of chance to experience. You know, I think the challenge for him was taking it from the practice field onto the game field. And now with this heightened opportunity for him, hopefully he takes advantage of it.
Now, hold on. I just quick. Aside here.
Sure.
Lauren Brooks just instant messages me and says, we can't see your air quotes. That's why I said I did air quotes. I didn't just do them. I said I am doing
kidding.
Air quotes right now.
I put you just kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you miss the JK after it?
I thought those were your initials.
Okay. Yes, those are my initials. I changed.
Look, well,
in your name entirely.
Right. We'll see what Marquise Lee looks like. I mean, when you watch, and I know we talked about this with Loggeman yesterday too, but when you watch some of the things he was doing on the field against Dallas, look, he is a really athletic guy. He hasn't put it together as far as running routes and knowing where he's supposed to be yet, but obviously more is going to be expected of him going forward with Allen Robinson being out. What exactly that entails is to be seen. I mean, is Allen Hurns going to be available to this team when they go to Indianapolis. He's dealing with that concussion. We don't know how long it's going to take him to get out of that protocol. So you're talking about maybe having to rely heavily on him. Maybe they're activating a guy like Mike Brown for game day in a couple weeks, which is not something they've had to do for, you know, the last month or so with, you know, Ace Sanders being back in the fold for this team. There are a lot of question marks now moving forward. I think if you were feeling pretty good about any of the young offensive players on this team, Allen Robinson was towards the top of that list,
yeah,
and he's gone.
Him and Linder and Blanco
right,
were, and that's not a knock on Blake. I mean, but those guys, I think, were just more consistent in their play week in, week out.
There's no doubt about it. Gus Bradley talking yesterday, too, about the record. We've been talking about it today. He said, look, he's not happy with 1-9 either.
We're not pleased with where we're at right now. I think that's, you know, we would hope that we would play more consistently. You know, we're making progress in multiple areas, but just not fast enough. And we talk about a race of maturity, but we just need it to happen faster.
All right, Allen Robinson, let's hear a few quick comments from him. Asked if he thought the injury was serious.
It's something that kind of had been bothering me for about a week or two, so I didn't think it was that bad, you know, but I mean, at the end of the game, I got an MRI yesterday, and that's what it showed.
Yeah, well, let's go on then, just jump right into what he got in terms of the results of that MRI.
It was disappointing, you know, because at the same time, you know, just putting in the work to, you know, where I've come this far to this point in the season, you know, just starting to kind of find my way and get in the groove, you know, to kind of have this, you know, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's ups and downs. I got to live with, you know, and I just got to come back stronger.
There's nothing you could do, but no, you hate to see that derailed. You know, you talk about Luke Joeckel. Last year only played really four games and just a part of a fifth at left tackle. Now, Allen Robinson got to play 10, but it's not as good as playing 16.
No.
And he won't have played competitive football by the time he suits up next year since early November
right,
of this year. It's going to be a long time.
It's going to be a really long time, and that was part of the reason he was asked yesterday if he feels like he's gotten enough work in with Blake Bortles.
Definitely, you know, I think we got a lot of reps together, you know, in games and in practice and things like that. I mean, at the same time, you know, I just got to get ready to get healthy, you know, so we have a very productive offseason.
And finally, rookie year's done for him, basically. I don't know, you know, we'll hear how he answers it. I don't know how you can assess it completely at this point, but how he views his rookie season now that it's come to a close.
I thought it was, you know, it was pretty productive, you know, at times. You know, I think I could have played a lot better, you know, at some times, you know, came down with some passes and some games that probably could have changed the games a little bit. But at the same time, just got to improve on what I did this season and just got to get better at what I didn't do well and just kind of improve on, keep going on what I did.
We didn't see the downfield plays that he showed in the offseason as much during the regular season, Tony. But one thing, and I was remarking about this during the game on Sunday, guy's got some serious hands on him to be able to fight off contact. The one where he picked up the first down on like a 3rd and 3, and it was
first series of the game.
Right, very borderline, but I mean, I think it was the right call, but it was very close. He is getting crushed as soon as he gets his hands on the ball. Doesn't have time to bring it into his body. Ball never wiggles the tiniest bit. The other one where he catches it off the ground and basically lifts it up and lands on his elbows, which is probably the easiest way to jar the ball loose from a receiver, is
right,
have him land on his elbows, other than it hitting the ball directly, and the ball never wobbles the tiniest bit. So this guy has got some serious paws on him. You need more around him. You need somebody to develop into that true field-stretching player, whether that's Marquise Lee or somebody else along the way, because you can't rely on run after the catch to get all of your big plays on, you know, crossing routes and slants.
Sure.
And the like. Some of that comes with better protection as well. You'll have more opportunities. But in terms of a big body possession receiver that probably has room to grow, give him a very high grade for his first 10 games of his career.
Certainly a lot of promise with Allen Robinson moving forward. And when you look at just the number of plays that they're having, look, no receiver's playing more than Allen Robinson for this team, and Cecil Short's sitting on the field for as many plays. He probably will be now. He'll probably kind of take over that role. But Marquise Lee was playing about a third of their offensive snaps, basically. Allen Robinson is a guy that they had been relying heavily on. He was on the field constantly because he has been a pretty decent blocker as well in the run game. He's physical. You talk about the size that he has. They're losing a lot with him coming off the field, and I'm curious to see how they're going to replace his production and his presence on the field for this offense going forward. I don't know if it means expanding the role from a receiver point of view of a guy like Ace Sanders, who was pretty effective last year, who they really haven't even tried at wide receiver yet this year. I don't know how they're going to do it. With how
I
lost,
hope that's not the case,
right,
honestly.
With how lost Marquise Lee has looked at times on the field, though,
Wouldn't you rather just throw him in trial by fire? Because honestly, Tony, I understand what Gus is saying. It's not, we don't look at this, we're going to treat this as the guys who give us the best chance to win right now and the guys who deserve the playing time and all that. But I think Ace Sanders last year, yeah, he caught a high volume of passes and did a nice job in that regard when called upon to play more than he was expected to. But he wasn't a dynamic playmaker. You know what I mean? I don't know if he's got that in him at the NFL level from what we've seen. Anybody, if you're put into the role he was put into last year in the National Football League, should be able to do what he did, basically. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I mean, handle that kind of workload. You still have to get open. You still have to catch a ball. But I don't see the great untapped potential in Ace Sanders as a receiver. I'm hoping that's there with Marquise Lee. I'd rather see him by far get those opportunities than the other way around.
Oh, I would too. I definitely would too. But you're looking at the possibility of going into a game without Allen Hurns as well. So...
No, I understand, right.
You're talking about going to Indianapolis with Cecil Shorts and Marquise Lee as your top two.
Well, Mike Brown, as you made an astute point there, probably active now. You would think maybe even going forward.
If it gets to that point.
Right, the last six games.
With Allen Hurns.
Right, depending on the and even with Allen Hurns, you might see Mike Brown active now at times on game day.
I said it on Monday. If it was me, I would almost deactivate Ace Sanders if I had the opportunity to for 1 week and put Mike Brown back there just to catch the punts.
Yeah.
Just to put a message across to Ace that, look, nothing is secure for you on this team. Do the job.
All right, so Metro Rooter Wednesday. Got to take a timeout. And when we return, we've got Dr. Stephen Lucy with your weekly look at the injury report from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, plus the fan feedback spotlight. How optimistic are you on these final six games? How many W's can be pulled from this schedule for the Jacksonville Jaguars? Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Lauren Brooks with your JTech drive of the game. The Jags held the Cowboys to a field goal on their first drive, and then the offense got to work from their own 20 with 12:09 left in the first quarter. An 8-yard pass from Blake Bortles to Allen Robinson would set up this 32-yard touchdown by Denard Robinson.
Shotgun now for Blake Bortles. He'll give it to Robinson running to the right. There's a little bit of room to Denard. Denard's into the secondary, to the 15-yard line, to the 10. He's racing for the corner. Touchdown, Jaguars. Denard Robinson from 33 yards. How do you like that?
The Jags' 7-3 lead was short-lived, though, as Dallas would then score 28 unanswered on four touchdowns. The Jags' defense did come up with a safety in the fourth quarter, and Denard Robinson punched in a one-yard touchdown with a few minutes remaining, leading to a final score of Cowboys 31, Jaguars 17 from London.
The Drive of the Game has been brought to you by JTech, a new automotive diesel and truck driving school here in Jacksonville. JTech is driving the next generation of under-the-hood and over-the-road technicians and transportation professionals.
Ah! Another. This is, I'm going to say 1983, Tony, is what I'm going to say. So I can picture myself playing video games at Pizza Hut back in the day with this on. I can. I'm not kidding you. I know. I mean, it's like, isn't that funny that this song took me to a Pizza Hut and Belly Busters in DeLand, where we used to rock Crystal Castles until we ran out of quarters all day long. And we would be listening to this and many other big hits from the early 80s. So
you are correct. It entered the charts August 27th, 1983.
Woo! Yes. Lock it in. Junior high, baby. All right. Dr. Stephen Lucy is here with us, one of 31 physicians with the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. Of course, the exclusive sports medicine providers of the Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Dr. Lucy, how are you? Missed you last week, obviously. I wasn't around. Dr. Von Thrawn was in with Tony. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be back, but I gotta admit, I was off at the National Kingfish Championships fishing last week, so I had a great week myself.
How did you do?
We finished 16th out of 130, so we were pleased. They paid 13 places, so we didn't make any money, but we had a lot of fun.
That's pretty good, though, I think. 16 in the nation, that's pretty amazing. How do you do? You do the Greater Jacksonville Kingfish as well?
We did. We did. We did well in that. Finished fourth in that. So I've been doing this a long time. Since probably since 1983.
Since 1983, baby, right? You were listening to The Fix as you're baiting your hook, and there you go. On you go. Allen Robinson's dealing with a mid foot sprain. Doc, I'm not a doctor. You may find that hard to believe, but foot injuries are, and Achilles injuries to me are the ones I cringe when I hear about guys getting, because my perception of them is that they're sometimes the most nagging, most difficult to overcome. What are we looking at just in a general sense for Allen Robinson here?
Well, you know, these are serious injuries in the midfoot. That's sort of in the middle of your foot, on the top of your foot. And we certainly saw that with Maurice Jones-Drew, who had a Les Frank type sprain. It sounds like Allen Robinson is dealing with some type of a stress fracture in one of the bones of his foot. And they have determined that the best thing is to shut him down. A stress fracture, as opposed to stepping in a hole and getting a real fracture, something you do from running, basketball, football, repetitive trauma, and that just slowly starts hurting and hurting and hurting. And the more you run, the more it hurts until finally you just have to shut him down. And the treatment of all stress fractures is 6 or 8 weeks of rest.
Boot it, right? Put it in a boot. And
boot, sometimes non-weight-bearing in these foot things, sometimes just not doing the sport. But obviously in this case, we're going to be missing a very important piece of the team.
Your guess, and I'm not trying to get into the specifics of Allen Robinson's health situation, but a typical stress fracture, if you don't have any further complications, if you follow doctor's orders and you keep, you know, the weight off of it or whatever, I mean, full recovery most likely, or is this a tricky kind of injury in terms of recurrence?
Most stress fractures is exactly what you said, is that you rest, you take time off. Sometimes, particularly around the hip, you may have to stretch it out to 12 weeks rather than the typical 6 weeks. But there are a few trick fractures in the foot that some even require surgery, but most of the time it's non-weight-bearing rest and they heal on their own. So hopefully this is one that's going to respond well and do well, and we'll see him back just as good next year, but we'll just have to follow the story as it develops.
Good timing award in the NFL this week goes to Carson Palmer, right? Got his new contract signed right before his second torn ACL. Tony was checking. It was the same one he had done, which you said is actually more infrequent. People who have torn ACLs, I guess the repair procedures are so good now that you're slightly more likely to tear the other knee than you are to tear the same one. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. In fact, I wasn't sure until Tony looked it up which one it was, because our incidence of re-tear on these ACL reconstructions is really low. But just because of the person's anatomy, if you tear one on the other side and you're still involved in athletics, you have a 10% incidence of tearing the one on the good side. So we see more of them done on the other side than the same side. But, you know, it was tragic for Carson. I mean, he's having a great season. Team's best in the NFL.
Reignited his career.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this has got to be devastating to him. But, you know, I'm sure that we will see him back in action next year, hopefully doing as well, because they'll reconstruct it. Usually on the second one, we talked a little about ACLs, usually use some allograft or cadaver tendons, because you can't get the same one out of the same knee. A little less surgery, but it takes a little longer to get full strength. So they'll hold him out, but I'm sure by training camp he'll be ready to go.
What is the worst fishing-related injury you've ever encountered?
Fortunately, not on me, but the funniest one I've ever seen was at the weigh-in of a tournament.
It's hilarious, I bet, here, Tony.
A guy showed up with his fish and a treble hook in his nose.
The hook was in his nose?
The hook was in his nose.
But he got the fish.
He got the fish, he weighed the fish, and then he went to the hospital.
So what did he do? He took the hook out and, like, it slipped and went into his nose? I mean, what?
I guess.
That's terrific. And Doc said, that was a pretty funny one.
Well, I've had to cut him out, but, you know, not a whole lot of fishing teams have orthopedic surgeons on the boat with them, so they generally have to leave them in until they get back.
Good point. What do they say about minor surgery, Tony? That surgery that happens to somebody else.
That's right.
Right? So there you have it. Dr. Stephen Lucy with us, one of 31 outstanding physicians with the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. Again, the exclusive sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Doc, good to see you.
Good to be back.
Get out there, man. Good job on the fish and get in the money next year, man. You know what?
With what we spent, we need to be in the money.
That is not a cheap hobby. No question about it. Doc, good to see you, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes. Dr. Stephen Lucy with the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. Tony, today, the Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you, as always, by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, asking, how many wins do you see on this schedule the rest of the way? What do we get?
Here's what we got from Paolo. I used to be very optimistic, but we may get lucky and win one game. From Stevie over there at Irish Jaguar, we'll go with four because why not? The Giants, Tennessee, and Houston twice. From Tony Agolini, three. From Jags Press Box, three. Same total wins as last year. Most upgrades were rookies. Little money spent. Next year, it's rookies and money spent. From Matt, two games, Tennessee and Houston. We'll have number two pick next year. Hashtag big spenders free agency. Hashtag number two pick Vic Beasley. He's calling his shot. Hashtag we believe. Desmond, one maybe. I'm just numb to this team right now. 3 years of 1-9. From Eric, I say four. I'm optimistic about after the bye with wins over Houston twice, Indianapolis, and Tennessee. Hashtag time to shine. From Brandon, sweep Houston, beat Tennessee at the bank, and upset the G-men. Hashtag always sunny. From Teal Rising, we got more of the same, one win and a bunch of L's. Hashtag Murphy's Law. Hashtag still bleed teal. Hashtag hopelessly devoted. And from Brian, gonna say our remaining home games, three. Home feels like home again. Hashtag protect the bank.
Yeah, you know what? I think there are more hopelessly devoteds than there are numbs, but you hate to, look, it's understandable. I'm not going to fault anybody.
Nope.
You're numb to it. You go 1-9, 3 years in a row. Hey, you know what? They're not charging. There's nothing called a rebuilding discount on the season ticket package, right?
There's
so,
us.
You don't get that. Josh Richburg asked on Facebook, do we want to win at this point? Let's get that first pick in the draft and trade it for multiple picks. Hashtag the Caldwell way. Hashtag Jaguars today. I don't have a problem with that. The goal should be to win, period, okay? But the goal is to win championships, starting with one championship, right? The goal is to win a Super Bowl. And then once having achieved that, it's to do it again. And ultimately, if, you know, in service of that, you need as many good players as possible. So if you feel that being a Jaguar fan means you're looking at the big picture, I don't think that makes you a bad fan. If you want this team to go 1-15 to secure the best, the most draft capital as possible. And it's not, again, about the one player you might get there. I do think there could be that quarterback this year. Maybe it's Mariota. Maybe it's Winston. I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe there will be that guy that somebody's willing to pay a premium to come up and get. So I don't think that's an outlandish, outrageous position to take.
Maybe not. And for the fans out there who feel like they're on board for that, that's because they're way on board for the Bradley plan. You know, I mean, it's this Caldwell Bradley plan of going young and it being about year three and year four. That's a fan who's totally on board for that. I think that when we go back to when this season started and everyone was expecting improvement, not just on the field, but in the win-loss column. Now you're looking at a team that's 1-9. For those fans that are kind of on the edge of it, you're not going to lose the core. But for those fans that are on the edge of it, you keep losing games. You go 1-15. There may be some excitement on draft night, but trying to keep that momentum through an entire offseason and get people into the stands next year after winning five games in 2 years,
right,
and trying to convince them that, yeah, we're going to be a more competitive product this year. There'll be a lot of fans that are on the fringe that it goes right in one ear and out the other. You told me this for 2 years. I don't buy it anymore.
Hey, look, if they just sat right here right now at 4-6, right? If they found a way to win three of those games that they were close in, okay? 4-6?
Pretty good.
You're in the playoff hunt,
right?
In today's NFL, at least you're alive in the conversation. At least you can say, hey, you know what? Maybe we win four of our last six and we get to 8-8. Maybe it's not playoffs, but man, we got a springboard.
Gotta learn
year.
To finish. It's the last lesson that a young team learns, and it's been a really tough one for them to figure out this year.
All right, that'll do it for us today. Thanks to Metro Rooter. I've used them in my own home, my own domicile. If I've got plumbing issues, it's the only call I make. 695-1911. Can't give you a better recommendation than that. And that's exactly the case. If you've got any size plumbing job in the home, in your business, septic systems, you name it, same day service, weekends included, the right people with the right equipment, that's Metro Rooter. Again, 695-1911. Visit Metro Rooter. NFL.com. That does it for us today. Thanks to Lauren Brooks. Outstanding work as always. Joe Fortunato for Fat Tony. We've got the boys of XL Primetime coming up next, so stick around. Don't go anywhere. This is 1010XL 92.5 FM.